Good evening. Well, let's turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. We're going to read several chapters there. In a Bible class that I've taught in years gone by, I don't teach it this year. I've got the Brother Doug Francis teaches 3 days a week, and then Brother Rick Saldivar comes in 1 day a week, and Brother Kenny does 1 day a week. So we keep a good, fresh group of people that do Bible, and I think the kids really enjoy it. And we want Bible to be enjoyable, but we also want it to be academic, where they learn things. You know, need to do that, because there's a real lack of learning in our culture. People, you know, get all sorts of things, but you got to have doctrine. You got to have teachings that these kids can stand on, because a lot of the kids in our school don't go to our church, and I don't know what they're getting. But a lot of times there's doctrine, you know, strong meat is not out there a lot in the world. So I appreciate those guys, because I know that they're beefy guys with strong meat that they can do. But you know, when I taught Bible class a few years ago, we brought the gospel down to 4 words. All right. And somebody made a t-shirt for me with the 4 words on there, and I have it still at home. It says, I can't, in the lowercase I, can't. And then the second line was capital H, he can. And that, you know, to me, that summarizes the gospel, that you've got to realize, first of all, that you've got nothing to offer God. None of your righteous, nothing that you can bring to the table that he says, okay, you can come pray now and I'll give you salvation. You just make sure it's a real good one, you know. But and then there's nothing that we can do. And then we need to turn and acknowledge that he can, that he is the only one that can provide for our salvation. And the reason why he's the only one of the great reasons, he was sinless. Amen. No sin. You know, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament were a simile, they were a likeness of what was to come, the lamb that was unspotted. We all know that a lamb, though, is not a moral creature in and of itself. It's just a symbol of a pure thing. You know, a lamb, I've never been involved in animal husbandry. You know what that is? Dealing with animals. But I would imagine I could handle a lamb. Even I could, you know. Put me up against a big old cow or something, I'm probably going to back away. Even a horse, you know, scary. But a lamb, and that's what Christ was, a spotless lamb of God. But he also not only paid for our sins by his death, but he did something much more also. And he rose from the grave. And that's either one of those things no human can be. We can't live a sinless life, and we can't raise ourselves from the dead. And Christ does that. In his death, he paid for our sins that were past. Wipes them out. But if salvation is simply wiping out your past sins, that's not going to do a lot of good, because what's going to happen? I'm going to turn around and what? Sin again. You know, and I used to believe that system. When I first got introduced to Christianity, I remember watching, I was ignorant as could be, all right, the Bible. I mean, I knew some basic stuff, you know, that when Abraham put the animals in the ark, he did it 2 by 2, right, Rick? No, Noah did it. All right, I got you there, okay. The stuff, like, I mean, I just, you know, I didn't know stuff at all much, but one thing I knew, that God was real, you know, and he was someone that I needed to reckon with. And so when we study and look at the scriptures, you know, they're a real thing. They really are. I lost my train of thought just now. Totally. Can you tell? I had a point I was making, and I don't know what it is now. But if it was junior high Bible, I'd say, okay, who knows? All right? Lamb of God, yes. So it's resurrection, or newness of life, comes through the resurrection. Okay? It is very important. Easter is not just some fun little holiday, you know, you get the day off. It's much more than that, or you dress up fancy, or things like that. But in Romans chapter 6, it goes through and talks about that. I don't even know what my train of thought was, but I know we need to go to Romans chapter 6. Yeah. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized unto Jesus Christ, we're baptized unto his death. Death. All right. That's part of the thing. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism unto death. Have you ever, I think I've baptized just a couple of people in my life, and the scariest part is what? Trying to get those words right, all right? But really the words, you don't have to get the words right for it to be scriptural, right? Buried in the what? Likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection to walk in newness of life, right? Very true statements, okay? To walk in newness of life is what I want to focus on. That one of the best ways in which we can proclaim the gospel is when we become saved, that our life, what? Changes. We got a newness of life. We can't resurrect ourselves, can we? No, we're very finite people. I mean, I've noticed that if I smash my finger or injure myself, it takes a lot longer to heal. I mean, it just takes a lot longer to get over pain. I used to heal up pretty quick, and now it takes a resurrection? No way! Now that's a big leap from just healing. But what do we need to do? What's the best thing we can do to proclaim the gospel? Because that's what baptism is. We're buried in the what? And raised in what? Likeness of His resurrection? To be like the old guy we used to be? No, no. The best way we can do the gospel and present it to people is by a changed life. We can't be perfect, but we can be changed. You know, I can say to a great extent I've changed. I need a lot more. But I guarantee you, if I went to my high school reunion, and I have, and they asked, what do you do now, Jones, for a living? They're pretty amazed. All right. I wasn't much of a student. I was a bad kid. All right. I wasn't terrible, evil, bad, you know. Yeah, that's what we all say. But I could actually say I'm walking in what? Newness of life to a great degree. And that's what our testament ought to be. Therefore, we are buried with Him in verse 4 in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's where that verse comes in. You know, those things that we say, you know, that, and when we baptize somebody in our church, I was just talking to Robert. And what's that statement? He said, he just went to a church where all the guy said was, and I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that was it. Well, that's all right, right, isn't it? But I mean, it's nice also to let people know that you're buried what? And you're raised in the likeness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, what? That our old man is crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves dead to sin, indeed, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. You know, it's not enough just to stop being bad. That's a good place to start, you know. It's like stopping smoking, maybe. So that's good. But maybe you should also, what? Exercise, okay? Start doing something good. I read a verse this morning. We have announcements at our school. I'll close with this thought. And in those announcements, we did book of, today was the 15th. We happened to do Proverbs 15. 15:1 says what? Anybody know? You remember? Anybody listen to me this morning? Out there? They only listen. We also do dad jokes. They can tell me all the dad jokes I said and how bad they are. But the verse is just, I can't remember. But what is it? A soft what? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. It's a good and it's a bad. Right? You can either, what, be a blessing by answering people that are a little hostile and turning around that anger, or you can be bad and do what? Stir up strife in our lives. So it's one thing to stop stirring up strife, what should you then also do? Be a blessing. Right? Be a blessing. Soft answer turns away wrath. So let's make sure we do that. We're not just parked in neutral in our lives idling, but that we are walking away from the old man and we're doing what is right. Loving others, loving God. And that's showing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Amen?